Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Bring Out the Best, Energize Your Life, Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright, and I'm a professor of transformational leadership at the Wright Grand University for the realization of human potential. And today we're going to ask you a question. Are you a relationship murderer? Are you killing your relationship? Relationships don't die all at once. They get strangled a little at a time. Each time that there was something you wanted that you didn't go for and you were hurt and angry and withdrew, whether you know it or not, you've pulled a little bit more of yourself out of the relationship. And that's how the strangulation happens. He is frustrated and withdraws a little just to avoid conflict. She withdraws and is frustrated and she's not satisfied. And little by little, we strangle the relationship. It becomes dead. And we don't know what to do. And we say, where has the love gone? Well, maybe there wasn't that much love in the first place. There were a lot of other things. That's not something we're going to go into today. We want to take a look at how you managed to kill your relationship. And so the opposite question is, how do I enliven a relationship? I enliven a relationship by expecting a lot more out of it. Well, the more I expect out of my relationship, the more I'm going to get. However, the more conflict I'm going to get. And that has to be the price you're willing to pay for an alive, great relationship, which is why Judith and I called our next book coming out in February, The Heart of the Fight, A Couple's Guide to 15 Common Fights and What They Mean and How to Use Them to Grow Closer. So what happens is, maybe you don't know how to get more out of the relationship because you didn't see two people doing it. The first thing is to catch your yearning. Catch your yearning. Then you engage. Then you either get what you want or don't get what you want. When you don't, when you get what you want to revelate. You want to think about it and do more of it. When you don't get what you want to revelate and see, gee, what could I have done to get it? What could I have done to get it? I am building a picture of myself, becoming more potent and effective. One of the worst things that happens in relationship is the myth that love makes everything okay. Well, if you want a relationship of existence, stick to mindless, easy formulas. If you want a vital, vibrant, alive relationship in which you learn and grow and get more out of it, learn to enliven the relationship rather than strangle the relationship. We strangle it each time we start to withhold, become increasingly unhappy. We enliven it every time we engage and take responsibility. Take responsibility. And then the other thing we've got to do is to more and more learn to accentuate the positive. Take the wins. Grow the wins. Too often people wipe out wins by saying, you never do this or that, when the truth of the matter is they do it sometimes. Do I want to take the times they do it and grow it? Or do I want to keep complaining and squashing the progress that was made, guaranteeing that things will not change? So, we're going to enliven the relationship. We engage. We follow our yearning. We revelate. We notice what worked and what didn't work. We do more of what worked and less of what didn't work. We learn and grow. And here's the one key takeaway today. We train each other. But the barrier for training each other is the research shows that the first 10 years of relationship is usually a conflict, control, struggle. Well, if I give you everything you want, I'm going to just be your slave. Uh-oh. That means I don't know how to go for what I want. So I'm not going to give you what you want because I'm afraid I'll get absorbed and lost relationship. So let's not strangle those relationships anymore. I loved Carrie and Clara. Carrie's a technical guy. Clara is a highly emotional artist. Carrie couldn't stand when she was expressive and saying stuff, and he would just withdraw. Well, the more Carrie withdrew, the more Clara would get agitated, and they would fight. And Carrie would complain and say, you know, you never leave any room for me. And Clara, I'm using synonyms, obviously, would say, you don't pay any attention to me. You abandon me. Well, they were both right. They were both right, but neither of them was really asking the deeper question. They weren't revelating. Clara wasn't recognizing that she was agitated. She was unhappy, so she would express more and more trying to get attention. And the more she expressed, the more he disappeared. The more he disappeared, the more she expressed, and the further they grew apart. And the more and more unhappy they got. Well, when they came in for coaching, and we looked at it, turns out that he had come from a divorced family. She had come from an alcoholic family. She was down in the birth order. There was a lot of pain in the family, and it was almost impossible to get attention. So when she expressed herself, she did not believe she was going to get attention. That is the revelating. She went, oh, my God, I'm just making more and more noise, getting nothing. And she awoke to the hurt underneath that and realized what she was really wanting from him was comfort. And he realized he really wanted to feel like he mattered to her. And when she was busy expressing in an excited, agitated way, he didn't feel like there was a place for him. Once she started talking about her hungers and her hurts, and he was able to comfort her, he started feeling that he had a role in the relationship and that he mattered. And after that, he started talking about his problems at work. They got closer and closer, and she ended up going into a design business all her own, and he and she began partnering on the design business and supporting each other. And she more and more would reach out to him for comfort. He felt more meaningful. He loved supporting her in the design business. She loved supporting him in his consulting work, and they grew closer. They were no longer starving the relationship and strangling the relationship. They were discovering how to grow the relationship and make it more and more alive. And the takeaway here is yearn and engage. Look at what you're getting. What are you doing that's working? Do more of it. What are you doing that doesn't work? Do less of it. And really take responsibility for your own satisfaction. It wasn't until each of them began telling the truth that that worked for them. So our first caller today, and maybe our only caller today, is Claire. She says, I've been married 17 years, and I'm having a huge case of the meh, but I'm scared to dig into them. So, Claire, tell me about the case.
Well, the case started 20 years ago when I met my husband, and I felt we had a great relationship. We got married. Keith came from a divorced family. His mom always hated to see us argue, but I really felt that that was part of a relationship, and so we had this great back and forth. We'd get to the bottom of whatever the argument was about, and then kids came along. And with kids, I feel like my priority was putting them first instead of myself first. And I think with the third child, he's four now, I think I really started what you were saying, withdrawing. Because when I would ask for something to be met, a yearning to be met, or something that I wanted to see happen, and it wasn't met, and it was pushed down, it was suppressed, it was ignored, it was, you know, well, I have a yearning too. And so then I became the one that would just take care of whatever it was. I feel like I started squashing all of my yearnings and became more and more unhappy in the relationship.
It sounds to me like you also didn't know how to reach out for help and partnership, and you marginalized your husband.
How so?
First of all, when kids are born, men have a hard time really relating to them till they can talk and we can tell them what to do. You know, we like playing with them and throwing them around a bit, but we're not all that patient by and large. And some men are better at it than others. But women tend to have more points of interaction with children. And even the working wives tend to have more points of interaction than some of the stay-at-home dads. And little by little, you get an enormous amount of your yearning met by the kids. So you stop looking to him to have your yearnings met, and you start just taking care of things because it's easier to take care of them than to tell him what's going on.
Ouch.
Well, it's
yeah,
human, isn't it? It's just how things go. So that causes him to get more and more on the margin, and you create a life with your three kids, and you give him certain roles. He can do this with the kids, that with the kids, something else with the kids. But you've got your domain because you've got a job and you've got the kids and you got to juggle all these things, and you don't want to spend too much time communicating, so you strangle your own yearnings. And you kill the relationship with your husband little by little as you dig deeper and deeper into the relationship with the kids.
Yeah, that I think is very true. I feel that when I have reached out and said, you know, I want to do X, Y, or Z, he's squashed that. And so
well,
I don't
of course,
know if that's his reaction
course.
Because he's hurt.
Well, he's hurt and you're not really sharing what's going on that makes you want to do X, Y, or Z. So you're not in enough relationship for him to want to please you.
Well, I've been in enough relationship in the last almost a year. When I took the Transform training in November, I came back from that and I sat down with him on a number of occasions and I said, this is what we're missing. We need to talk. We need to reconnect. And I feel like even in expressing that and discussing that, he was not hearing that. And
Hang on.
Yeah.
There's no we, Claire.
No.
You're either going to do it or you're not. And you want to blame him for the fact that he didn't take you by the hand and make the we happen. But the fact of the matter is, had you been doing what we should be doing, we don't know what he would have done. It's called a Mexican standoff, and you're testing
him. So asking
him
is not enough?
What?
Asking him is not enough?
No way in heck. No way. Good managers know that in order to make a minor change in a business, you have to tell the staff seven times. Asking isn't enough. Going for it is different than asking. Big declarations. If you thought of yourself as an athlete, is once every 3 months working out going to make you in shape?
No.
You have to do it day in and day out. And you can start that happening regardless of what he does, but you start working out, he's more likely to get going to keep up with you in the relationship. But the bind you're in is so often moms say, Dad, I need you to do this, and he starts feeling like it's your honey dude list. Honey do this and honey do that. But there's no partnership.
Well, my honey do list has consisted of I want to go out on dates with you, date nights, and my honey do list has consisted of I don't care if it's, you know, sitting out on the back porch having, you know, a drink or having a glass of water or just talking and listening to each other. And I said, I would do that a couple times a week.
Did you hear me say that's pretty pathetic? That's pretty pathetic. That's pretty pathetic.
Yeah.
What they discovered is couples tend to discuss things other than logistics with the kids under 17 times a week once the kids get going. 17 minutes a week, excuse me. And the question is, those are fine. You could make them happen if you wanted, but you want him to prove that he cares about you by initiating it. You could at least let him know, and I'm going to test you to see if you make this happen, rather than just putting it on the calendar. I want these proofs that you love me.
Yeah, I do.
Well, let him know that you're going to give him a test and grade him and see if he accepts you being the tester. Seems he's not.
Well, and maybe I haven't said it directly enough, but I have said I've had a lot of fear that as much as we're talking now about non-logistical things and we're getting to the heart of some of the issues that have been going on, I said, I'm afraid that we're going to slide back into the old habits, and we're still not where I want to be. I still,
look, we is a collection of bushes in which you're hiding, Claire. There, you use the we to obscure the I. You're the one that's not following through on what you want.
So by saying, let's sit down and talk, I'm not following through on what I want, and he goes and practices the piano, or he has three other things to do before he wants to sit down?
You never have been able to assert yourself and complain and say, no, I mean right now?
You know, historically, I would have done that, and more recently, I have lost that fight in me.
Well, that's exactly what
yeah.
I talked about at the beginning. Little by little, you
yeah.
felt hurt, and you withdrawn, and you're killing the relationship. You're the one I'm talking to. I'm not talking to him.
Yeah, right. So I need to break out of that pattern.
You need to decide if you're going to be a satisfied, flourishing woman, mother, wife, person, or not. And, you know, he's going to have to come along because he won't be able to practice the piano if you're sitting on the bench next to him.
Or closing the lid of the keys and sitting on the lid.
That's even more assertive.
Yeah.
It sounds to me
yeah.
like your relationship is at the edge of a breakthrough to another level, but you're the one that needs to break through to another level of being satisfied. It's way easier to do it when there aren't three kids to raise.
Yeah. It was amazing. We had a day where the kids were with grandparents and the relationship had a fabulous, you know, opening. And as soon as the kids walked in the next morning, he was gone. He was out the door.
Well, then there are some issues around him in relationship with the kids. And I hope he's going to be doing the men's basic training.
He is.
Well, good. He needs to go with an assignment to have a strong relationship with each of the three children, you and himself. So he has five jobs to deal with, starting with himself.
Okay.
And he can throw work in there, too, if he wants.
All right, I'll let him know
But well, that's for him. For you?
Yeah.
Come on, you're way too powerful to be you're way too powerful to be whining like this and blaming it on him. Get happy. Call me with some victory stories next time.
Okay, okay.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks a lot, Claire. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Bob. Bye.
So this is so good. So now Claire's going to stop strangling the relationship and start enlivening it. It's really subtle how the relationship gets strangled, especially when there are kids in the picture. You get three kids in the picture, that's a very complex picture, makes it very easy to start strangling the couple. Our second caller is Samantha. She says, I've got a big ego with my boyfriend when we argue, and I'm afraid of giving in because I don't want to seem like I have less power. Oh, Samantha, talk to me.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. Hi, Bob. So when Joseph and I get into arguments, we get into a lot of, like, really silly fights sometimes. I get very upset when he acts superior, which is very often, and it's shown by his tone, by his body language, especially his facial expressions, and just the way he talks to me. So I feel really hurt, and it makes me feel like not giving in. There is opportunities that I have where I can, like, soften up and be compassionate and empathetic toward him, but I resist to be that way because I feel so angry at the way that he treats me.
So, but Samantha, let's talk about this because there's history to this. Who was it that didn't seem to care about what you wanted and acted superior before you met Joe?
My father and oldest brother.
Okay, okay.
Mainly
so,
my oldest brother.
Okay, okay, okay. So there was a power and control struggle in the family.
Yeah.
And so you're trying to get power by resisting and controlling. It's actually a more fragile point. It's way more interesting if you're making more demands on him and he makes more demands on you. Now, let's go to the piece that you started with. Your feelings are hurt when he climbs up and acts superior to you, right?
Yes.
Okay,
it triggers me very quickly.
Yeah. And so what do you say when he does that?
Well, I kind of get a little snippy, and I kind of, like, use my tone and tell him, you know, you're acting superior. And I call it out. I tell him he's acting superior. I tell him that I don't like the way he's talking to me, for him to control his body language or his hand movements. And I tell him that, you know, I need a pause if he's not going to control his superiority.
Okay, so what if, Samantha, you said something like, you know, you sure seem to want to feel superior to me. What's going on right now that you want to climb up on me?
Yeah, you know, I tried that too, and that conversation leads to him just kind of, like, explaining why he feels or why he's that way. He kind of has told me that it's just his... He kind of told me that it's about his mom. Like, he had to act that. I think he said he had to act
that
his mother.
Yeah, but let's get away from his parents. Some days he climbs up on you. Some days he doesn't. So I'm assuming there's something going on in him and in his life on the days he climbs up on you.
Yeah, that could be. That could be very true.
So it's never going to get resolved if he tells you stories about his past. There's something going on with him in the now. And wouldn't it be stronger if you could get him to be honest with you?
Yes, it could. Yeah, that would be very strong.
So I want you to notice where we started, you're resisting his will. Where we're at now is you're expressing your will for him to be honest and present to you, with you. It's always better if you express your power by an outcome that you want rather than a resistance. Resistance is fragile.
Okay.
See, we want you to have your way with him.
Yeah, I want to have my way with him, too.
See, and that helps you re-matrix, we call it, reprogram the earlier childhood issues with your brother and your father, where you're starting to learn how to have men please you.
Right. The only thing with that is that, so I would love to kind of like, talk about what's going on at the moment and why he feels that day that he wants to come at me like in a superior manner. But I think part of the piece is that like I get just so hurt, and it's hard for me to look past that hurt so I can cooperate with him.
Well, but then that's another direction, Samantha. That's where you just say, ouch, and you allow yourself to feel the hurt.
Yeah.
Because it's a fragile position to get pissy. But if you can just, in the pain, then you're way more adaptable. If you can own your own hurt, and say, wow, that hurts my feelings. What's going on with you?
Okay. It sounds easy. I can try
it.
No,
it's not. It's not, because your habit was to resist your brother.
Exactly.
And so this is actually a deep change for you to work at a little at a time by learning to say, ouch, before you get pissy.
Okay.
And it's
okay.
You do not expect it to change right away, but this is a long-term strategy for you to exercise the soft power and the hard expressive power.
Right, the hard power and the hard expressive power. Okay.
Yeah, and so this is your absorption. Women are very adaptable. That's think about your feminine power, the adapting power, the attracting power, and explore both your resistive, expressive power and your soft power. But right now, I think we're on you, A, knowing what you want, which is him to be honest, and B, saying ouch and expressing your pain in a way that doesn't resist, which just gets you hurt more.
Right. Okay, yeah, that's really good to know, and thank you.
Well, thank you.
I'll try that with him.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Bob.
So what we're talking about today is how to enliven your relationship. We've got Claire, who was strangling the relationship by withdrawing a little at a time, by testing, by not being committed to her own satisfaction. We've got Samantha, who has a pattern she wants to change, and this is part of the control struggle that couples get into. And the challenge for her, too, is to enliven the relationship out by being soft, by asking him what's going on with him. So thank you for listening and joining us on the adventure of relationship. We'd love to have you with us next week at October 28th, How to Get What You Want, 3 Keys to Success. Register at seievent.com. So this is going to be talking about living greater satisfaction and fulfillment every day of your life and every moment of your life as much as you can. Remember, the best home run hitters only hit home runs 3 out of every 10 times, or they only hit get on base 3 out of 10. But we learn to keep going for it and to live a life bringing out our best and energizing everything we do. Thank you for joining me. I'm Dr. Bob Wright.